Just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Amen. Praise Him, that song said. We ought to be praising Him for all His goodness, grace, and blessings in our life. Amen. So much been said already, and I don't want to say too much or deviate too much from what God wants, but I want to give Him glory like that He deserves. Amen. This scripture that we're reading, we've entitled this whole section, we've called it Grace is Greater. Grace is Greater. This is our third message on this section from verse 12 through verse 21. And we've gone a few weeks without being here because of some other things that have gone on. And we've got it moved around a few times and things. But by the way, let me just plug this. If you will, pray for me. It just seems like I can't get over this. I think I'm better. And then my head's hurting now. Feels like it's in a jug. And I don't have any, it's not in my lungs. It's just all in my head and sinuses, seems like. And my throat's not sore. But just seems like you just can't get to feeling better. And so pray for us about that, if you will. And I know others have got it, and I'm not trying to pour mouth and all that, but ask if you would pray with us about this. But in this text that we're looking at, the fact that we're talking about God's grace is greater than all our sin, this is a thought I thought about this week. How many of you, I want to see a raise of hands, how many of you have heard the gospel message at least once in your life? You've heard the gospel message. Every hand in the building. All right, take it down. How many of you, again, I want to know another show of hands, how many of you have heard it more than once? You know what we all do? We all lift both hands and say, thank God, because there's a lot of people who ain't never heard it. They've never heard it. I'm glad I've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. Amen. And it gets to be old news to us, but I'm glad it's still good news. Amen. Still good news to the sinner that God's interested in saving souls. Amen. God's grace is greater, thank God. Amen. Romans chapter number 5, and we'll start with verse 12. As I said, these final verses we're going to be studying today, verse 18 through 21. But we'll start our reading in verse number 12, and we'll read responsefully as we have before. I'll start with verse number 12, and then you'll follow the next verse, and we'll go right to the end, all right? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Amen. I believe we'll just read that again. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Help us, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. As I said, we're in this final portion of chapter number 5, the final section of this, really, of this chapter. And chapter number 5 sort of sums up Paul's preaching of the gospel of salvation. He's going to move from there to dealing with sanctification. And so we'll be dealing with that as we go along. And do pray for Miss Elizabeth and them there as they're slipping out even now, that God would be with them and protect them through all this. Amen. But we're talking about, we've called this whole chapter, we've talked about salvation is forever. Amen. Salvation is forever. We're talking about salvation being free, salvation being for everybody. And now we're looking at the fact that salvation is forever. And we talked about how that the first part of chapter 5 shows us how God loved us. The love of God was commended toward us in that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then he goes on moving from how God loved us to talking about how God loosed us. How that God set us free from those sins. We're no longer under the bondage that at one time we were under. Amen. Amen. We've been set free by the grace of God. Amen. And so we've looked at this being loosed from our sin. Now, in our study of this section, verse 12 through 21 so far, we've dealt with verse 12 through 17. And we've noted that the text before us is what many commentators say, some of the most confusing or most difficult to be understood text of all the Bible. We want to rightly divide the scriptures. But the portion that begins with us today in verse number 18 begins with the word therefore. So you know that obviously beckons us back to the previous verses. And just looking at your Bible, and I've dealt with a little bit already, but verse 13 through verse 17 is all in a parenthesis. So these, he's going to pick back up where he left off in verse number 12. Verse 13 through 17 having been in that parenthesis. And verse 12 does not end in a period, but rather with a semicolon, with a colon. But look at verse number 12. Let's read 12 and 18 together. I've done that each time that we've looked at it, but I want to do that again today. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now you're jumping past the parenthesis to verse number 18. Therefore, since death has come in and all have sinned, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. And so what he's saying here is that one man introduced death and sin into our experience, right? So it could be possible then that another one man could introduce redemption and reconciliation into our experience by faith. Amen. And he's showing us how that Adam, what Adam did and the effects of that. Then he's showing us what Christ did and the effects of that. Amen. Adam opened the door to sin and death, whereas Jesus opened the door of faith unto salvation. Amen. Amen. Now, our sin brings a penalty with it. He says in chapter 6 that there are wages for sin. There's a penalty. Matter of fact, Brother Matt touched on it this morning in the Sunday school lesson and dealing with Adam and Eve and the fall there, really particularly with what Eve had to say in her part. But the fact is that God said, thou shalt surely die. There is a penalty for sin. Now, and I know maybe I don't have to elaborate on this, but we probably should, because the devil for 6,000 years has been lying to people that there are no penalties for sin. You can do it one time and get away with it. No, you can't. The devil's a liar. He started out lying to Eve. Jesus said he is a liar from the beginning. Amen. I said it this morning talking about how that Eve, I don't know that Eve intentionally mistranslated the Bible. If she intentionally misquoted the Bible when she said the promise wrong, when she didn't say thou shalt surely die, she said lest thou die. In other words, peradventure, perhaps, maybe you might die, and it was watered in. I don't know that she intentionally did that, but I do know that the devil intentionally twisted God's word when he said dogmatically, thou shalt not surely die. He was a liar. And he's still a liar. And when he says you can get by with sin, it doesn't matter how big or little the sin is, how accepted or unacceptable the sin is, you ain't gonna get by with it. You're not gonna get by with it. And so the door was open and sin brings a penalty. But faith comes as a free gift. Amen. When you believe God, not only you get the penalty when you sin, when you disobey God, but when you believe God, you get a gift of grace. Amen. And then the emphasis is placed upon this superabundant qualities of God's grace. Amen. And that what Adam did was bad, but what Jesus did was better. Amen. And what Jesus did had more long-reaching repercussions than what Adam did. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll magnify sin and how bad sin is and not recognize how much better grace is than all that. Amen. Don't minimize grace by maximizing sin. Amen. Recognize though the penalty of sin is terrible, the gift of God is even so much better. Amen. Amen. And so he talks about how that, and we've dealt with some of these verses already. One solitary sin brought all this damage and destruction, but Christ didn't just come to forgive that one solitary sin, but he came to wash all our sins away. Amen. Amen. And so we can rejoice and give thanks unto God for that. He covers that sin and all others. Amen. Going beyond the scope of Adam's transgression by far. Amen. So Christ's offer of salvation not only reaches deeper than Adam's transgression had, but it also elevates us higher than Adam's transgression demoted us. Amen. Adam's sin got him kicked out of the garden. Jesus offers us heaven. Amen. Adam's sin brought physical death. Jesus offers us eternal life. Amen. Amen. And so salvation reaches further and does more, elevates higher than sin had caused us to fall. Therefore, we see that God's grace is greater than all our sin. Amen. Now, I said we've completed that parenthetical. He put that in there to explain what he's talking about. We've completed that section. We're ready to look at these following verses. You'll notice that these verses move from indicating contrasts. He's up to this point, he's showing us how much better grace is, and he's going to continue that, but he's not just going to show you a contrast, he's going to show you a comparison, how they are similar in these two. All right, look at verse number 18, if you will. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And could, by the way, could very easily apply verse 19 with verse 18. I'll pull that apart and talk about it in a minute, but you can see how they apply together. But one of the great blessings that I see is that whenever it says that all men sinned, it talks about all men can be saved. When it talks about many sinned, it talks about many can be saved. In other words, whosoever will, yes, yes, can come. Amen. Whosoever will. Amen. And there, the word in verse number 18, I said it starts with the word therefore. And so it must point us back to verse number 12. But if you look at verse number 12, it starts with the word wherefore. So it says that it didn't really start there. That verse 12 is actually clinging on to what's even before verse number 12. Amen. And the comparisons had been interrupted by the verses indicating the contrasts. Adam and Christ have some similarities, but they also have some vast differences. And he established the limits of those comparisons. Now, having strengthened and explained his argument, Paul is led by the Holy Spirit to continue his thoughts linked not only to verse number 12, but to the whole doctrine that he's been dealing with from chapter number 1 all the way now to the end of chapter number 5. He's dealing with this doctrine of justification by faith. Amen. Salvation by faith. And so the word therefore proves to us that we have been condemned, but there can be something better. We also can be justified as well. Amen. Now, I put it this way in my notes. I think this is a good way to think about it. Adam was condemned by sin, and all of his descendants have been or will be condemned likewise by sin. Whereas Jesus was totally righteous. Therefore, I'm using the word of the Bible, those that come through Christ have been or will be totally justified in the eyes of God. Amen. Counted as totally righteous before God. As sure as we share in the condemnation of Adam, we can likewise share in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, somebody might question whether these two statements about all men, and underline that phrase, all men, are synonymous. For example, does this verse mean that all men were lost in Adam when Adam sinned? And then does it mean that all men were saved when Christ died for our sins? Well, it can't mean that. It can't mean that. It can't mean that all were saved when Christ died on the cross. That would be an argument for universal salvation. And some use that argument, by the way. They do use that argument. If you take that verse in that matter. But we know that one verse of the Bible cannot tear down the rest of the Bible. One verse of the Bible cannot go against or contradict the teachings of the entire scripture. What this verse has to mean, now listen to me, what this verse has to mean is that Adam, upon willfully going into disobedience to sin unto death, because of that, condemnation and sin became available to all men. Now we go through the same door. A door was opened. And we do go through that door, by the way. No exceptions. Amen. But it also means that when Christ willfully, he did exactly the opposite of what Adam did. Adam willfully walked into death, willing to sin. Christ willfully refused sin and took our sin upon him and walked into death. Amen. And because of that, another door has been opened, which is available unto all men. Amen. By the way, that corresponds with the scripture, John 12:32, that I put in the bulletin this morning. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Amen. And so the door has been opened that whosoever will may come. Now, there's another argument against this meaning. And some say that this means that all men will be saved. The fact that not all men have sinned and died since Adam. Jesus didn't. He never sinned. You say, well, he wasn't a descendant of Adam. He was through Mary. He was a man. Amen. And then on the other hand, not all men are going to believe on Christ and go to heaven. Amen. All those who follow Adam's pathway wind up in sin and condemnation, but all those who will follow Christ, accept his free grace by justification unto life, can be saved. Amen. Amen. So, we see, really, this is what this verse is saying. There's only two categories of people in the world. There's people that are still in Adam, and people that have gotten in Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's what the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter number 2, talking about us before we were saved, among whom we all had our conversation in time past. You know what it's talking about? We were children of disobedience. We were away from God. We were strangers. We were aliens. How was that? Because we was in Adam. But thank God you can get out of Adam. You can get in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's what he's talking about in these verses. Amen. And matter of fact, it is restated in verse number 19. But before I go there, let me say this. All of us were by nature in Adam. Therefore, by nature, we would sin and die. Amen. But Christ offers a supernatural birth, which produces a supernatural life. Amen. Not by nature, but by the supernatural grace of God. Amen. That places us in Christ Jesus and gives us justification and life eternal. Amen. And by the way, that's restated verse 19. Look at it. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Again, just restates what's just been said. Only instead of using the word all, uses the word many. Now there's actually two differences. Look, it looks like on the surface just a repeat of what's been said, but looking at it closer, you'll see two massive differences. First of all, verse number 18 says that something came upon mankind. And verse number 19 says that we were made something. You notice that? It came upon, in verse number 18, the offense, one judgment came upon all men. But then in verse number 19, by that man's disobedience, we were made sinners. Not just came upon us, we were made. All right, then verse number 18, that free gift came upon all men unto justification. And in verse number 19, we'll be made righteous by that free gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the second notice is not only the came upon and the being made, but the difference in all and many. Now let me comment on these individually if I can. First of all, it appears that verse 18 references the descendants of Adam as being treated as sinners. They're guilty. Because they're born into a guilty family. Right. You go through, all through the Bible, Achan's kids were treated as sinners because they were of the lineage of Achan when Achan sinned. You go on and on, all through, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. What about all those babies that died, people say? Or what about in the flood? What about all those babies that died in the flood? Well, the fact is they were reckoned, they were treated as sinners because they were in a family of sinners. Right? And that's what it means. It came upon them. They're treated as sinners by the condemnation being applied. It's applied to our sin. But verse 19 affirms that those descendants not only had that judgment hanging over their heads, but they're actually classified, not just treated like, they are classified as sinners in the sight of God because of their relationship to Adam. Amen. On the other hand, verse 18 says that those that come to Christ by faith are treated as righteous. Treated as righteous. Do you know the day you got saved, you might have still had liquor on your breath, but you was treated as righteous when you got saved. You might have still had pornography at your house. You might have still had drugs on your possession. Right? You might have had a lot of things wrong that you hadn't had time to fix yet. But you know what happened when you got saved by the grace of God? You was treated as righteous the moment you believed Christ. Amen.
But that's not enough. I'm glad he don't just treat us that way. He classifies us. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. He makes us righteous, not just calls us righteous. He makes us righteous. Amen. I'll give you another illustration. We got the couple here having the anniversary today. Still no children. I don't understand that. But anyway, I just pick on them about it. But on today's May 15th, right? So that's the day y'all got married. May 15th, 2021. All right. On May 15th, 2021, Evelyn was called a Belle for the first time. Now she's actually a Belle. She wasn't just treated like one. She's now actually a Belle. That's what's wrong with her. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Just another one of the things wrong with her. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But when God saves us, this is the point I'm talking about. When Adam sinned, we was treated as sinners, and we are classified as sinners. We became sinners. But when Christ died for our sins, when we believe on Him, we're not just treated as righteous, we become righteous in Him. Amen. He makes a new creature. That's one reason why this whole false doctrine that there's no change when a person gets saved is absolutely contrary to the Scriptures. I don't have time to deal with that a lot, but that's right. Amen. So we are made. And actually, he uses the word shall be. I like that. Look at it. Verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's past tense. So by the obedience of one shall, that's future, many be made righteous. Amen. He's talking about on that day of judgment when God sees us. Listen, He won't just have to overlook our sins. Our sins will be gone. Amen. There'll be no sins there when we're there in that judgment day. Amen. Amen. They're gone as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Well, maybe a simpler way of saying this. I thought of this. I didn't read this somewhere. I just thought of it. I thought it might, here's a way we could say it that we could understand it. When Adam sinned, he made mankind sinnable. When Christ died for us, he made mankind savable. Amen. 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 Savable by the good grace of God. We can be supernaturally saved. Amen. Now remember, the Apostle Paul has been emphasizing the difference, not just the comparison, but the difference between the natural descendants of Abraham and the spiritual descendants of Abraham. He's already been talking about that here previous in this chapter. And he's talked about how that the Jews was going to argue, well, Abraham was circumcised and Abraham knew God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Paul reminds them, yeah, but Abraham believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness before he was circumcised. And so he said, it's not just the natural children of Abraham that are saved, but it is the spiritual children of Abraham. Amen. Now he's going to talk about Adam. We're all natural descendants of Adam, but are we spiritually descendants of Jesus Christ? Amen. Being born again through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Amen. Now, as we prepare to move on to these final two verses, I want to remind you that this section has not just been comparing the likenesses, as I started saying a minute ago, but actually showing you that Christ did way more, went way farther than what Adam did. Amen. Christ superseded everything that Adam did. Amen. He's been describing to us how that grace is greater than all our sins. Verse 20 and 21 wrap all this up with a bow tie. I mean, wrap it up real grandly. Amen. Look at verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered. Uh-oh. He's been talking before about death reign from Adam to Moses. So when you think about Moses, you think about the law. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. Huh. You mean the law didn't enter to take away the offense? No. The law was never given to take away sin. The law was given to show us how against God we are. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. So he's gone all the way back to Adam, and he's talked about the sin of Adam, how it plunged the whole world into sin and into death. He goes on now, he's talked about Abraham, and they've used him as their argument. Surely they're going to use Moses as their argument. And so he brings us forward from Adam's time all the way to Moses. And by the way, he said they were dying, death reigned, even without the law. Right. Death reigned. But he said, you know, where there is no law, there's no sin. It doesn't mean that they hadn't sinned. But here's what's appointed unto men. It's not appointed unto men to sin. It's appointed unto men to die. And after we die, there's a judgment coming. What's that judgment for? What we've done. What's that? Sin. Right? And at the judgment, are we going to be living, are we going to be standing in our sin, or are we going to be standing in the Savior? That's the idea that he's got here. And so they died without the law. Now he's coming to the law, and he says, but the problem with the law is you can't use that law as a crutch. You can't hide behind the law. Amen. He knew this Jewish population. That's who he's addressing in this book of Romans at the time. He's talking about those Jews, and he said, you can't hide behind Moses. You can't hide behind Abraham. You can't hide behind Adam. Amen. You're lost without God. So he had already addressed that fact that Adam had received salvation by faith in his pre-circumcised condition. And by the way, that the Gentiles could understand that. That means that he represents the non-Jewish nations, you might say. And now he's going on to say Moses and the law enters the picture. And he's going to expand upon this reference later in chapter number 7 particularly. He's going to deal with this quite a bit, and we'll get there, Lord willing, as we go along. But what he's saying is, in short, he's saying that when the law came, the offense was seen even greater. The offense was seen even greater. In short, he said, mankind could not keep the law. So their failures were magnified by the standard of the law. The law didn't bring sin. The law just shined a light on sin. The law just helped us recognize how wrong we were. Here's the illustration, and I'm going to move on. I'll be done in just a few minutes. When a sinner comes in the house of God and the preacher starts preaching or the singing, whatever the Holy Ghost uses to start convicting their soul. I'm going to say it specifically, when the Word of God, that's what the Spirit uses, when the Word of God is applied to that sinner's heart and they start feeling condemned, they did not just become condemned. They were condemned already. They were condemned before they ever stepped foot in the church. Matter of fact, if they leave, they say, I don't like going to that church because it makes me feel condemned. Then they can stay away from church. That don't stop the fact that they're still condemned. They just don't see it anymore because they're not by the standard. You've heard it said, and it's right. If you want to see how crooked something is, you lay something straight, perfectly straight, down beside of it, and it will not make the crooked thing crookeder. It'll just make you recognize how crooked it actually is. Amen. And that's what the law was. It made our crookedness obvious. Amen. That's how the law revealed the offense of sin to be. The law actually revealed how depraved and degenerate the human heart, in fact, was. Not just of one person, but every person. Nobody could ever keep the law entirely. But he doesn't finish verse 20 with that statement about offense might abound, but he starts another sentence that goes through the next verse. But he says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What a wonderful statement of truth. Amen. Amen. We can rejoice that that verse is in our Bible. The law was never given to take away sin. And so when sin appeared to be so hideous, when sin appeared to be so enormous, grace starts looking better. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the worse the bad news is, the better the good news is. Amen. That's right. When we realize how bad off we are, we start recognizing how great God is and how good His offer is to us. Amen. Sin condemned every man, and it makes grace look all the more appealing because of our great need for it. Amen. Now, think about this. He's talking about the law showing how bad things were. But the law didn't reach to every man. The law stayed primarily with the nation of Israel. But grace didn't stay just with the nation of Israel. That's what Paul's dealing with here. Grace superseded. Grace went further. Thank God grace wasn't just to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Amen. Thank God grace didn't just come to a little section, just a little group of people, but grace came to whosoever will. Amen. Where sin abounded, he said sin abounded. Sin reached on beyond Israel. Sin abounded to every region of the world, to every person. It doesn't matter their status in society, their racial status or whatever. Sin abounded all the way to the ends of the earth, but the grace of God reaches just as far. Amen. The grace of God reaches even further, amen, than sin could ever do. Amen. That is expanded in the next verse, verse number 21. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's what he said about sin reigning unto death. Sin left no survivors. Sin left no survivors. It reigned unto death in the whole world. But he said grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin reigns unto death, but grace goes beyond death. Grace, by the way, you get saved, and I understand the verses, well, I can at least explain the verses. I can't say I necessarily understand the verses. Jesus talked about, he that believeth on me shall never die, but we know they still die, physically. So you get saved, they're still gonna die. Why? Because death passed upon all men. We're still gonna die. But I'm glad that's as far as sin can push us if we're a child of God, because sin's not going to follow us into the next life. God has forgiven us. We've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we stand on that great day of judgment, our sins will be gone. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Sin reigned unto death, but thank God, the justice, the righteousness, the justification of God reigns on beyond death. Amen. Through the righteousness unto eternal life. That's what he said. Amen. Now, think about this. This just came to me this morning when I was trying to seal all this up, get my thoughts together on it. I can rejoice in what God's grace does for me. I can rejoice when I know what sin did to me and what God's grace did to me. But the glory to God is not what grace does for me, but it's what it does for God. Because God does not just say, okay, I know you're a sinner, but I'm going to overlook it. That wouldn't be a good God. That wouldn't be a just God. That wouldn't be a holy God. Judges do that all the time. Judges say, you know, you've been found guilty, but we're going to let you off easy. That's not a good judge. Right? I'll tell you what God does. The grace of God, how it goes on beyond what sin could ever do. Sin condemned me before God, but God can still be holy, and God can still be righteous, and God can still be just and forgive me for my sins. You know why? Because Jesus paid the price. Amen. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Amen. Listen, this whole thing, this preaching of grace, this preaching of salvation through faith by the grace of God is not demeaning the law. It doesn't throw away the law. No, it upholds the law. God's law was holy. God's law was just. God's law was right. God's law was straight. We were the ones crooked. It doesn't put away the law. Neither does it put away sin. It doesn't say, well, sin's not that bad. Sin's okay. Forget sin. Don't worry about it. No. It says sin is hideous. But Jesus Christ took all those sins in his own body and died for us on the cross. Amen. So, the grace of God has much more abounded to the honor and glory of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just die to satisfy me and you. He died to satisfy the Father. He died to please the Father. Amen. Now, I'm going to close with this. This concludes the chapter that we've read here. It also concludes Paul's argument about justification by faith, the power and the necessity of the gospel of God. He's gone through chapter 1. Up until this point, particularly chapter 1 through at least the first half of chapter 3. Excuse me. He's gone through all that to prove that every human being needs a Savior. Amen. He's proven the fact that there is the necessity of the gospel. He's proven the fact that we're all guilty before God. No hope of righteousness on our own merit for salvation. But then he reveals that Jesus Christ was so perfect that he answered all the demands of the law. And that Jesus' righteousness is so free that even a little child can accept it. Amen. It extends, it reaches to the smallest Sunday school child or up to the chiefest of sinners. Amen. God's grace reaches further than anything else ever could. Amen. Amen. So Jesus Christ bore in his body the curse of the law when he hung on the tree of Calvary. Amen. He did that to fulfill the righteous demands of God and his law. Amen. His righteousness is available to whosoever will. If we'll simply believe the Son of God. Now here's what we gotta do. We gotta repent of trying our own methods. We gotta quit saying, well, you know, I think I'm doing good enough. I think if I just turn over a new leaf, if I just start going to church, if I just start doing better, listen, forget all that. Repent of that. It's not works of righteousness which we have done. What is it? You've gotta come to Him empty handed. You gotta come to Him with nothing to offer. And just accept His free gift of salvation. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a word of prayer. Salvation by faith does not make the law of God void. It fulfills the law of God. Amen. It offers a way out of sin. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this word of God You've allowed us to preach this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, for this truth that grace is greater. That it goes beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Doesn't matter how bad we've been, grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter how far we've gone, grace is sufficient. Father, I pray that You'd help somebody run to Jesus this morning. Whether it be in our church or out in the listening area. Lord, I pray You'd deal with somebody's heart. I pray that somebody would trust Christ as their Savior today. Have Your way, we pray, in this invitation. According to Thy will, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder if the Lord might have spoke to you this morning. You need to do business with God. We're going to sing a song. If we do, if you need to come, you obey the Lord.